It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Bringing in Studio 31, looking forward to this one. Brian McCormick and Darren Millar Day with you for the next hour. It's a simulcast available on all of the team's digital channels. We are encouraging you to send us questions, comments, observations. We will get to those throughout the show. You don't have to wait until the very end to hear your question asked. We will sprinkle them in as we recap the week that was in the Vegas Golden Knights schedule and what lies ahead in this stretch drive as we look forward to protecting this first place lead. 5 points now with 12 games to go. You're starting to get to that point where magic number is going to come up.
Yeah, you do. And I'll tell you what, it's a five-point lead now during a stretch where the Kings have played pretty well, too. They've got points in nine of their last 10. And not only do you have the magic number, you're counting down. You're trying to whittle away the work you need to get done and some road hockey coming for the VGK where they can put their stamp on that. But also, if you're the Kings trying to chase down the Golden Knights, think of how well you've played and you haven't made as much progress as you'd like to because of the homestand the Golden Knights just had. So it's not just going into the postseason on the right note. It's also fortifying what that regular season lead looks like.
It's a five-point lead over both Los Angeles and Edmonton for first place in the Pacific Division after a three-game sweep of the homestand last week. You beat Boston, you beat Detroit, and you were able to handle the Tampa Bay Lightning. Pretty good response to what was a disappointing four-game road trip prior to, which they played better than the points accumulated reflected.
But a response is still needed, and it was a great response. Again, three wins against a Tampa Bay team that is a playoff team, a Detroit team that while they're outside the picture looking in, they certainly want to be, and it's a critical point in their rebuild process that they wanted to make some tangible steps forward this season. So, and a Boston team that's trying to stay in the mix. It was three games against teams that are either preparing for playoffs or desperate to try to make their case. And for the Golden Knights, I was at the game Saturday against Detroit. That was pretty handily won against Detroit, despite the fact in the first period, I thought the Red Wings had some good chances in the first 10 minutes. And then once the Golden Knights got the offense going, that game turned on a dime. It actually, I looked up midway through the second period and realized that the game was a lot more lopsided than I thought it was at the time. And then last night against Tampa, jumping out to a 3-0 lead and just managing that game to the finish. So, again, really good stretch, a good homestand. And it's a team that's played much better at home than has on the road this season in terms of what the record is. So now this is a very important road trip to – while this homestand felt like a correction from what they did out east the week before, now you need to go on the road against a couple of teams, a Minnesota team that could be a first-round playoff matchup if the season ended today, and again, Chicago and Nashville not having the seasons that they wanted. It's time to confirm that what was fixed here at T-Mobile Arena remains fixed in this final home stretch.
Did you hear what John Cooper had to say after the game last night?
I didn't hear his comments, no.
So Vegas jumps out to the 3-0 lead and are able to put it away with a fourth goal late. And John Cooper said the pushback was fine, but pushback for what? In the end, they got a lead. They're comfortable with it. That's what they wanted to do. They could have played four more periods and still had it. That speaks...
It's a massive compliment.
Yeah, to what the Golden Knights were able to do against a very talented, offensively talented, Tampa Bay Lightning group.
It also speaks to what the Golden Knights have done defensively, what they do defensively when they're playing well. You talked about Bruce Cassidy, you talked about, you know, when you got good goaltending, you have good center depth, and you're strong down the middle 200 feet, you're going to win a lot of hockey games. And this is what Tampa have last night, I think 37 shots. And the Kucherov goal is with 2 seconds left, so it counts. But for the analyzing how the game panned out, it counts in stats only. This is a Golden Knights team that protects leads and protects the middle of the ice, and you don't get a lot of secondary opportunities. So for John Cooper to say, hey, that game was a fourth period, we're still not winning, and a night where his team had almost 40 shots, that speaks to quality and the fact that sometimes volume doesn't tell the whole story when the Golden Knights defensively are taking away the grade A areas and taking away the second opportunities, boxing out.
Vegas got some great individual performances yesterday. Jack Eichel, congratulations, named second star in the National Hockey League this week with 7 points in the three games, including a couple of goals. He has points in 11 of his last 12, had a four-point game this week, and has upped the pace to above 100 points this season. If he stays on schedule, he will hit triple digits. So that was significant on the weekend. And Ilya Samsonov offered up a game yesterday in which he outdueled Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah, really good last night. And again, I think for the Golden Knights, a 3-0 lead against Andrei Vasilevsky in the first period, that's going to put you in a really good position for a hockey game. But Samsonov is terrific. It's going to be so important for the Golden Knights to have that double-barreled action that they can rely on down the stretch. You know you're only going to ride one guy in the postseason, but it's important to have someone else in the wings that you can rely on. And you mentioned for Jack Eichel, it's points in 11 of the last 12, 18 points in that window. So that he's at 87 points with 12 games to go. It's already a career season, but very much on pace for 100 points, particularly with what he's done over the last couple of weeks, and the power play is a big part of that too. The power play has been so good, and so much of it runs through him at the top of the left circle, and we saw that over the weekend too. Whether it's working from the points or whether we're working out of the corner with Mark Stone, it's starting with Jack Eichel and just how much he pulls people in his direction to open other things up. And that's one of the reasons the Golden Knights have been able to dominate down low so much. Tomáš Hertl a part of that too, and of course Tomáš Hertl, we're waiting to find out what his situation is going to be.
Well, it's funny because just out of the corner of my eye over on the right, I don't know whether you saw it behind the monitor, but the elephant just poked his head around, the elephant in the room, which is,
well, you're not pointing at me,
Tomáš Hertl and the injury that occurred last night.
Yeah,
left the game with 6 minutes to go after being shoved into the boards following the breakaway. There wasn't any update beyond there was tests going to be held last night and more tests today. The team's traveling to Minnesota right now. They're in the air. I do not have an update for you if that's what you're after. I apologize. We have not been given any information regarding the status of Tomáš Hertl. I'm anticipating if we get Kelly McCrimmon on at 4 o'clock in the VGK Insider Show, we will ask him for the very latest, or failing any information at that point of the day, the team will hold a morning skate tomorrow in St. Paul, and we'll be able to catch up with Bruce Cassidy.
And what Darren just did, that's double-pronged work he was just doing. First of all, bringing you the news. What we know right now is what you know right now, which is no update just yet. And secondly, we are taking your questions at the Golden Knights social channels. So by all means, ask us how Tomáš Hertl is doing in those comment threads as much as you want. But when we have an answer, if we have an answer within the hour of some sort of an update, I promise you we're going to let you know. But right now, nothing to share.
Yeah, the elephant just walked back behind the monitor.
Didn't like what he was hearing.
No, did not like that. But for Jack, you're close enough now to a 100-point season that it's becoming real.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it virtually since his arrival in Vegas, that this was on the table. 40 goals, 100 points. Which one would happen first? They might happen in the same season. But now you're knocking on the door of 90, and you've got enough games, enough runway left where it's realistic. You might get a first triple-digit season out of a Vegas Golden Knight.
And it's also over 600 points now for his career, which is just, again, it's just so consistent that he's so regularly involved in everything. But I think what shocks me so much is that he's on the 100-point pace. And just look back, again, it's a few years now. We almost forget where Jack Eichel was at one point of his career, which was before he came to the Golden Knights and trying to get a procedure done that was going to give him full comfort and full use of his body back. And how at the time, that was not 100%. I wasn't sure if that was the right decision to make or not for Jack Eichel, and well, proved over and over and over again what a right decision that was. That he's been a point-per-game player as a Golden Knight and is now having a career season. But
a team lost his services over that argument.
Yes. Yeah, and I say voluntarily so, but they made a business decision based on that argument, and the Golden Knights said, hey, we're going to take that chance, no problem, and they've been rewarded for it again and again, including with a banner hanging in the rafters. But, you know, betting on himself, he's won in a big way, and now he's having his best season. And I think what's interesting for you is, and again, we're at a time of year right now across the National Hockey League, we're talking about the fire that is lit under a person that's chasing a milestone or chasing a benchmark. And when we talk about Alex Ovechkin, we'll talk about that. Can he break Gretzky's record this season? Well, there's the math. How much time is left? What's the probability of him being able to score at the pace necessary? But there's also the push of the human being, of the motivation to get it done and to chase it down. And for Jack Eichel, who's playing so well, he doesn't need more of a fire lit. But I am curious, 100 points, what that means to him, if that is going to get him a little even more on his horse. Again, at the pace he's playing right now, it'll happen. But, you know, what's the hunger going to be for him to meet that on a personal level to be a 100-point player?
From Saturday morning, he went from 99 points to 102-point pace.
Pace.
Saturday night after the
four-point game. Will do that, yeah.
We'll give you an idea of where he is right now, but it's on the right side of it.
Yes.
Going into these final 12 games. So we've got more, including your questions, your comments, they're starting to pile up in the chat. Again, wherever you're listening, on whatever platform you are watching, just go into the question area, the comment section, and check in with us. Tell us where you're watching, where you're listening in from, and also love to get your take on this stretch drive, whether it's the VGK or on the broader scope, the National Hockey League. Will continue next. But right now, watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, or TV to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now and tune in for these final 12 games and the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be back with more after this.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Golden Knights coming off a week in which they scored 15 goals in those three games. You're missing out on seeing hockey live and in action while the Golden Knights are on the road? Well, go on out to Lee's Family Forum to see the Henderson Silver Knights this Friday, 7 o'clock, and Saturday at 6 p.m. as they host the Milwaukee Admirals. The first 1,500 fans this Friday will be able to get their very own Lucky bobblehead and complete your set. It's a bobblehead of Lucky. It might be a Lucky bobblehead, but I just know it's a bobblehead of Lucky.
That is true.
Depending on where you put those words in what order, they can mean different things.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes with charm or any.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that. But it is Lucky's likeness, and it pairs with the Chance bobblehead doll to form a set, because they do everything together. Mm. So
you put them together, they're both holding flags.
And then and then we'll find out if it's Lucky. You put them together, you make three wishes, and you see if anything comes true.
Guys, you're going to get me in trouble at some point when you say things like that.
Well,
you don't know what you said.
Read the fine print.
But
read it.
but I'm trying to do the responsible thing and just hold things in. The three-game homestand last week featured a couple of hat tricks for the Vegas Golden Knights and making a little VGK history. One, consecutive home game hat tricks, and then three straight home game hat tricks, and two of them in back-to-back games overall.
Right, Tomáš Hertl, Pavel Dorofeev, and then Tomáš Hertl again.
Yes.
And you know, I think first of all, that's great for everyone at the livery and the saddlery and the armory and all the other team stores, because hats are needed. In the
Arsenal,
Vegas
team store?
Yes, hats are needed. But to your point, just in terms of overall, offense is up. And this is a Golden Knights team that's scoring at will now and scoring at will against some pretty good teams. But a lot of production from Tomáš Hertl, 7 goals in the last 8 games. Hopefully the Golden Knights will have his services presently. We're waiting for an update on that. But Pavel Dorofeev, a 30-goal player, I keep coming back to thinking about what Kelly McCrimmon said in the offseason when a couple of players left the VGK, and he says, you know, some players, they outplay their contracts, and that's why you win Stanley Cups, and then
those players deserve to be rewarded for it. Sometimes it's here, but sometimes maybe it's somewhere else, and you wish them all the best. But you can do that because you think that you've got more players that, when moved into a greater role, are ready to pop and are ready to fill in some of that production. And Pavel Dorofeev is one of them. I think people had hopes that he could turn into a go-to goal scorer this season for the Golden Knights, but a 30-goal scorer. I wrote down before, he's had one significant goal-scoring drought this season, Pavel Dorofeev. He went 11 games without a goal. That was a drought that ended 2 days before Christmas. Since then, he hasn't gone more than four games without a goal. So not only has the volume been there production-wise, but the consistency, a regular clip. And I think because of what he's been able to do on the right side on the power play, and because there's so many options on that power play, he's able to score from the right side. He's able to score from below the dots. He's able to move up and down on that wall.
I like
to
his
be open.
Ability to slide down towards the goal line, almost
sharp
like
angle
in a Draisaitl type spot.
You know, it's something I noticed when you look at for Hurdle. There's been so much talk about what he's done at the bumper spot on the power play, and he has. But it's not just the traditional bumper spot. Usually when you talk bumper spot, you're talking about a guy maybe drifting above the hash marks into that soft area. Does the defenseman follow you up? Does the winger come down to you?
No.
He's not doing that. He's when the puck gets out of the corner to Mark Stone, he's drifting right down into the blue paint.
Well, Saturday, that was a great example.
Twice.
Of it. Yeah.
And it's okay, he's a big body, so you got to either win that physical battle away from him. So if you're the defenseman, okay, I go to Tomas Hurdle. Now Mark Stone could just walk to the front. You don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like Mo Sider was on more than one occasion. He's the one caught in between.
And the defenseman looks at Mark Stone, and behind him, Hurdle is moving around.
Yeah.
And making himself more available.
And that's just, it's not drifting back for a one-timer. It's sinking in and forcing everyone to collapse to the middle. And Stone, Eichel, they're going to get that pass across. But the reason I mention that is when you have Hurdle doing that, you have Dorofeev has the wisdom. It's not an eclipse of a stick blade that, okay, I can hit Hurdle or I can hit Dorofeev. If you're in our streaming audience, look, sinking down. You got to go with him. So either Hurdle's going to get it or it's going to open up Dorofeev on that backside. It's the same passing lane to get it across, and because Dorofeev is able to finish from that in tight and he's able to work off of that angle, it gives you two options off one play out of the corner. So it's really, really hard to cover. And, you know, what's your point, Brian? Tomas Hertl and Pavel Dorofeev are both creating the same offense off the same look often enough, and they're both lighting it up as a result. Again, it's not the only way they're scoring, but watching it this weekend against Detroit, Detroit had no answer for that.
I thought Hurdle would score more on the power play through
tips and deflections. Yes.
I didn't see this being the primary outlet for his production. And then it leads me to another area where I didn't think his one-timer was as good as it is. Yeah. And not just from a hammering it, but he's able to make contact and get it on net virtually every time and doesn't get stopped a lot.
Yeah.
There have been opportunities where the goalie's got a piece of it in the arm or whatever, but Hurdle's able to get the puck on the net in very challenging situations.
Like really?
4 feet, that passes 4 feet.
Yeah.
And it's sizzling from Mark Stone, and he still gets all of it.
It's really, really versatile. And again, though, just looking at the power play there, and again, it's where you wonder if you're without Tomas Hurdle for any extent of time. Like, that's a skill set that not everyone has, but you need to keep track of him as you're a defenseman on the penalty kill in front of the net, because it's not your traditional bumper where he's going to drift out higher and you have a chance to square up and eat a wrister and try to block a shot. He's going to pull you down with him, and you're going to have to win a physical battle from the hash marks in. And again, that only works also if you're going to be able to have your high guys pulled out by Jack Eichel. They need to respect him on the perimeter so he's not shooting. And then Mark Stone can make that pass. So he's so versatile, you're right. And even the goal he scored yesterday on Vasilevsky, which is a clean rip from the high slot, he beats Vasilevsky clean with a wrister. Like, it's just, there's so many ways he can capitalize. He's so dangerous. But, you know, you forget about the shot when you talk about what a consistent net front presence he is. Yeah, that brings a lot. And, you know, you wonder if the Golden Knights were to be without him for a little bit, if that happened, is there someone else that can slide into that same role on that power play unit? Not that anyone's going to be Tomas Hurdle, but you think, all right, if I can get a big body with hands and let them try to work from the hash marks in, draw a crowd like that, you know, maybe that's what you try.
Did have a power play after Hurdle left the game. William Karlsson moved into that spot.
Yeah.
a fellow centerman. That's the other part that will be challenging. Hurdle wins so many draws in the power play.
Yeah.
And has a net front presence. He's a left-handed faceoff guy. Carlson's left-handed. Can tip pucks. Not the same player, but I understand the transition of Hurdle to Carlson if it happens. And we're hopeful that it's not anything long term. We don't anticipate finding anything until at the earliest mid afternoon here when Kelly McCrimmon will join us in the VGK Insider Show. And even then, who knows whether the test results will be back. And then the team plays tomorrow morning with a pregame skate in Minnesota, in St. Paul, and then tomorrow night against the Wild.
In the meantime, if there is going to be time without Tomas Hertl, if that's what it is, you're going to find out what your options are. You know, you wondered what was going to happen to the power play when the Golden Knights found out they're going to be without Shea Theodore for a bit. And then you're reminded that Noah Hanifin is a power play guy on many teams in this league, and he slid in and made an immediate impact there. So, you know, you'll find out what those options are. But it's also, I think, we're talking about Jack Eichel as a 100-point player. You know, if you lose a significant piece of your power play, and Mark Stone's still producing, Pavel Dorofeev has like 12 power play goals, he's producing on the man advantage, there's other options there. But if it's going to run more through Jack Eichel, and Jack Eichel is, again, going to be on a man on a mission for 100 points, does that make him a little more of a shooter on the power play as well? You know, remains to be seen, but, you know, water will find its level.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
It always finds a way, right?
It does. It does find a way, and especially when you have, you know, in the off season.
I was talking about the water.
The water?
Yeah.
You were talking about the water?
The water always finds its way.
It's smart.
In a leak.
Smart
yeah.
water.
Yeah, and the easiest path. Guaranteed. You know, Jack, the one-timer yesterday.
Are there any physics questions in the doc? Not yet. Go ahead.
I love the Jack one-timer from Zach Whitecloud.
Oh, it was a whistler.
And I don't know whether it surprised Vasilevsky because it was a long pass across, but it wasn't your traditional one-timer setup because it was not a broken play, but a disjointed play, and he hammered it.
You know, sometimes I noticed this weekend just how good the Golden Knights were off the transition, and that's something that they focus on and succeed with a lot, but it really stood out the last two home games. Now, you know, usually talk transition, we're talking neutral zone, but if you force a turnover high in the zone and you move it quick, same result. And that was, I think it was Zach Whitecloud. It was
a
turnover forced at the blue line, and he doesn't think, just quick, he gloves it down, gets it across, bang. And for Jack Eichel, again, it's a world-class shooter from a high-leverage spot, gets rid of it. I do think it surprised Vasilevsky. But what the Golden Knights have done such a good job of in the neutral zone and in the offensive zone is, how often do you see a turnover forced on the back check and the guy turns up ice and takes four or five strides? Doesn't do that. You get rid of it quick. You move it from, okay, guy at the blue line, it's going cross ice from wall to wall, and you're in. And even the Mark Stone goal against Detroit, that's a quick possession change in the neutral zone. It's wall to wall, quick, into the zone, drop past Petrangelo, one-timer, Stone rebounds. It happens so fast. And because they make decisions on the puck so quickly, it doesn't give you a chance to get set again. And you'll hear coaches say all the time, whether it's rebounds, whether it's turnovers, when the puck is turned over, when it's a possession change, that's the point where no one's where they're supposed to be defensively. Everyone's got to get back to position one again. And if that first pass can beat somebody, you're going to have an opening to score. And I think the Golden Knights, whenever they can force a turnover, a change of possession, that first pass comes so quick, instant scoring chance. And the Eichel goal last night was a perfect example of it. On a clear up the wall that doesn't get out, Whitecloud has the presence of mind to glove it and move it fast, but they're ready to go on possession change immediately.
It was Vasilevsky that cleared it around, and then he had to get back into the net because of the change of possession. And Whitecloud had a broken stick that was in two pieces right in front of him. Mm-hmm. Navigate that over to Jack Eichel. And Whitecloud said afterwards, they work on that at the end of practice. Most times we're already in the room talking to the guys that have come on the off the ice first and then getting ready for Bruce Cassidy's availability. But Zach and Jack are two of the biggest rink rats around, and they end up working on things together. And Zach was saying, when you see the nine car open, you hit them. I never heard that phrase before. Nine car open.
The nine car.
And away you go.
That's one of my favorite parts of practice. you know, you do 45 minutes to an hour of drills or whatever, but then afterwards is when you see guys working on all the little minutiae of the game. And, of course, all the Golden Knight practices are open. You can come see this for yourself. But, you know, after all those drills and line rushes and things of that nature, that's when you'll have, the defensemen will line up at the blue line and the coach will bank the puck off the wall and you'll just do keep-ins for 10 minutes. Keep in, control, move it, get a shot off. You'll have, net front guys take passes at the goal line, curl and roof it. Just a 180 turn, they'll do that 20 times. Like, just those little minutia of the game that means so much in instances that you can pick them out in the highlights. You know, that's sometimes the final 30 minutes of practice are more interesting than the first hour.
Show me that stop it, curl, and roof it.
Stop it, curl, and roof it. So you can see the hands.
Yes.
That have me at this desk.
I'm impressed. Can you put your computer down just so we can see that a little bit better?
Well, let me show you what
you're watching on the live stream.
Yeah, so back when I played in high school in a place no one's ever heard of, I would just do, for 20 minutes after every practice, off the glass and out. Hmm. Off the glass and out. That's what I was good. I could hit open space like nobody's business.
No penalties.
With high enough glass, of course. But that was different because if, the 20 people watching, if I miss the glass, I hit my parents and I don't get a ride home. So
it's tough to do to hit somebody in the crowd at your games.
Incentivized.
That was a good shot. If you could hit somebody in the crowd at one of your contests.
If you and I played men's league together, you're a goaltender. You would never get – nothing would ever come towards you from me. I promise you that.
I don't know why you haven't invited me out to play with your team.
Well, I haven't played since August. And no one has called to ask where I am.
Oh, that's good. We got your questions coming in and more self-deprecation. We break down the Vegas Golden Knights on this road trip as they head off to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then Chicago and Nashville. So we'll size up that competition. Your questions and comments straight ahead. I wanted you to keep checking in with us for wherever you're watching. It's got some good reactions so far. Ever wanted to own a piece of Golden Knights history? VGK Authentics is the official channel for game-used items coming off the ice, from game-used pucks to game-worn jerseys and everything in between. Owning something from your favorite Golden Knights player has never been so easy. Shop VGK Authentics on VegasTeamStore.com, at the Arsenal, at City National Arena, and the VGK Authentics kiosk behind Section 10 at T-Mobile Arena during the games. Nighttime at noon continues right after this.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
All right, let's get to your questions, your comments that have been pouring in throughout the last 30 minutes. It's Darren Millard along with Brian McCormick on Nighttime at Noon. Joey from X says, love from Honolulu. What's one thing you guys have learned from each other?
You've taught me everything I know. I think you have to go first. What have I taught you?
No. You don't snort and then get to pass.
Because it's such a one-sided relationship.
No, I don't care how you try and bail yourself out of it. You do not snort live on the air and then get to pass the buck.
Well, you've taught me how to get out of self-created awkward situations. So I mean, I've learned a lot from. I've learned how to tell stories from Darren. I've learned how to adjust the height on this chair from Darren. And before we do any show together, you come in and tell me everything to say. So I've also
that's a lot too. The only truthful part of that was adjusting your chair because I knocked you down
a couple of pegs.
Pressed the button and down you went one day. You know what? The thing I appreciate most about you, one, you're uber talented, but your ability to handle stress and be positive throughout it, not just even keel, but positive throughout the stress while the world's going chaotic around you, you have that same personality. And I love that about you. It's one of the reasons why I like working with you.
Appreciate that, Darren. And, when the chaos that's surrounding you is your own fault, you have to be positive about it because you were the one who made the mistakes. But thank you. And again, since you've said something so positive, jokes aside, I'm a guy who works at the minor leagues and gets to do some cool NHL stuff every now and then. And it's always because you bring me along for the fun. So,
or I lose my voice for a month.
Love you. Well, that's actually true. There were a couple of instances where you didn't have anything to say about it. But nonetheless, you created opportunity, and I appreciate that.
VegasBorn35 from Twitch wants to know, what do you guys think is the major difference of the team's results at home versus the road? I think they played really well on the road outside of the beginning of the season. I thought there was some sluggishness there. They didn't have a rhythm of that. Remember going back to the Florida trip. And I think they've done a good job of finding their game on the road. And I think you can be optimistic come playoff time that they have the ability to raise their level and replicate the results that they're getting at home to on the road.
I think there were a couple of tough stretches during the season. This team didn't have much of a lull at all for the first few months, and when they had their first one, again, eventually it's going to come for everybody, it came on the road. And I think there were a couple of teams that were down in the standings. It maybe caught the Golden Knights with their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. As Bruce Cassidy said at the time, you get some players back and you lose a little bit of that edge, and maybe those things coincided. I think the road is tough on everybody. There's a reason why most teams have a better home record than they have a road record. Travel's hard. It does take a lot out of you. I think it's important for this road trip, though, to show some semblance of what was done this week at home.
Yes.
Carries over, because it's playoff time, and now you get into a different mindset, too. There are teams that do really well in the playoffs on the road, because I've asked this question to coaches before. Sometimes it's just as much fun, as fun as it is when T-Mobile Arena, when the roof blows off, like it did this weekend. Sometimes making a building deathly silent is just as fun. And I think that's something for the Golden Knights to remind themselves of, and to acquire that personality now of how fun it is to take the air out of a building.
And tomorrow night in particular, with the way things shape up right now, there is a logical reach that Vegas and Minnesota could meet in the first round. I think that's an important matchup for Vegas.
It is. And on top of that, again, there's also an element of sometimes that goal with 35 seconds left to force overtime, we saw it in that last road trip, that's more likely to happen for you at home than it is on the road sometimes too. And I think the Golden Knights maybe in those instances have wanted to close out games a little more succinctly, which they've done at home, and at the road's been a little bit tougher. In Minnesota, it could be very important, like you said, a possible playoff matchup. It's a team that's gotten terrific goaltending. We said that Eichel is the second star of the week. Well, Gustafson was the first star of the week. He's won three in a row, and he's given up two goals over that stretch. He's had a phenomenal season. You look at what Gustafson's done, Boldy has done, Rossi has done. That's carried a lot of the weight for the Minnesota Wild with Kaprizov out. Michael Russo is a writer who covers the Wild. He said this morning that I think they're hoping that Kaprizov starts skating in earnest this week and might be able to get a couple of games in before the season ends. So important for the Golden Knights against Minnesota now for the sake of setting the table for perhaps a first-round playoff matchup, while also with the knowledge that if they do get Minnesota in the first round, there's probably going to be a big piece joining that Wild roster that probably won't be a factor this week.
Next question from YouTube, and you can say this person's name.
No. All right. Have to let you come back. They don't have to let me come back.
This is the name. We're not saying anything here, but the handle of Stupid Jagoff.
Great to have you on the show, Stupid.
This is awesome. Really appreciate you. Viewing. Good day. Checking in from Clovis, California. My dad would like to know how important it is for the VGK to clinch the division due to a potential playoff matchup with LA and how well they play at home. First of all, Stupid Jagoff, your dad has to be proud.
His son Stupid is asking such smart questions.
Yes, exactly.
Rising above all expectations.
That's amazing. So just how important is it with the division? Basically, you can avoid L.A. in the first round. Kings won 3 of 4 in the season series with Vegas.
Yeah, I do think it's very important, though, if you're going to get L.A., if that happens. And again, as you mentioned right now, L.A. and Edmonton tied with 87 points. L.A. has a game in hand. Edmonton's been without McDavid and Dreisaitl and managing pretty well. But I do think when you look at the Golden Knights' record, and again, playoffs is a different animal, but you're 27-7-3 at home. You're 15-13-5 on the road. You'll want to be home, and when you factor in what L.A. does at Crypto compared to what they do on the road, Kings 25-3-4 at home, 14-18-5 away.
Yeah,
it matters. And at this point in the season, you have a 5-point lead. There's 12 games left. If you lose a 5-point lead with 12 games left heading into the playoffs, it means you weren't playing your absolute best hockey. So
L.A. doesn't have a game in hand.
Fair. But so if you don't get, you're in a position to finish first. First. It matters.
Patrick Irvin from YouTube says, hello from Wisconsin. Looking forward to seeing the VGK at the United Center in Chicago this Friday. Go, VGK, go. Frankie from from X says, my daughter sold Girl Scout cookies in the office this past month, which made me have to ask you guys, what's your best Girl Scout cookie?
Oh, you know, I'm not... Frankie, I'm rooting for you. I'm not anti-Girl Scout cookie, but I haven't had many. Like, that wasn't just a thing that was in the house all that much growing up. My sister was a Girl Scout for a little while. I'm anti-Thin Mint. Mint is okay for gum and toothpaste. I don't like ice cream mint. I don't like cookie mint, so that's not me.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I think that's a great take. I have the peanut butter. I bought 2 boxes of those things.
Yeah. Is there one that looks like a chess piece, like a butter cookie?
A little bit,
is that a thing? Okay,
yeah.
That would probably be it. Yeah.
Okay. Things that go bang from YouTube asks, hello, gents. Any updates on Theo? When will he be able to play? No update other than what we saw on the weekend and into last week. He's practicing in the regular sweater. I don't know whether he's been cleared to play yet, but he was cleared for contact. And this, all indications point to returning to the lineup this week, whether it's in against the Wild, whether it's Chicago, whether it's Nashville. I can't tell you for sure, but it does look like Shea Theodore will be back in the lineup this weekend, which I think is another reason why you saw Ben Hutton play yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a back-to-back, so you take advantage of it, throwing a fresher body in. He hadn't played in almost 4 months, exactly. And so if you've got Shea on the cusp of coming back, which gives you your top six, when's there going to be room to put Hutton in down the stretch? So I think the Hutton appearance might have been as much of an indicator that Shea's coming back as anything.
I agree. A window of opportunity, and with the playoffs right around the corner, you want to make sure that everyone you're going to have at your disposal is actually going to be, you know, useful in-game action. And if you find yourself, okay, if not yesterday, then when for Ben Hutton, then you're looking at, okay, if we have to use him in the postseason and we haven't gotten him in and it becomes a 5-month window, that's not fair to the player and it's not going to help you either. So I agree that that's a good indicator too. Shea Theodore seems close, and a great time for the Golden Knights to get him back if it comes at any point this week. And I'm learning from these questions, you and I, our social handles are terrible. We lack creativity.
Things that go bang from YouTube. Appreciate it. That takes us to YouTube. Because Vegas fans, if you want more Golden Knights content, head over to the Vegas Golden Knights YouTube channel. I know it's kind of plain Jane. Apologize for that, but got to make sure it's the easiest to find. You can subscribe to the Vegas Golden Knights channel right now and watch all access player videos, game highlights, and even our special VGK Origins. Subscribe to our channel today and stay up to date on all things VGK and revisit some of our greatest moments as the Vegas Golden Knights. More questions and comments as we wrap up the show. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all of the VGK social media channels.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, we are going to up our game on our social media channels because we've certainly learned that there's some creative people out there. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas and the VGK social media. I want a name from you, if you could. Now, for work, you need Brian McCormick.
Mm-hmm.
If you could create a social media name, what would it be? Don't answer now. I want some time.
Could I be really on the spot? Time. Okay.
Okay.
My picture has to appear next to this name?
No.
Okay.
No. So we've got some great ones so far today. Ron Panda, Rodeo Ice Hockey, Pre-War Collector. So there's still some comments to come in just a little bit. But first, update you on what's going on with Alexander Ovechkin. He's closing in on Wayne Gretzky. I don't think it happens this week, but 7 away from setting the record. It's going to happen.
It's absolutely going to happen. I think it's going to happen this season. It's absolutely going to happen flat out. The crazy thing is, again, he's going to be 40 years old at the start of next season, and he's got a chance to score 40 goals this season. You know, we keep thinking about the record. We got to start talking about where he's going to finish. Like, he might hit 1,000. Like, that's not the question.
I've never thought of it this way.
Okay.
But in golf, there's that, can you shoot your age? You get to a certain point, right?
Yeah. Well, he can play till he's 50 if he wants to do that.
When you get older, did you ever think that somebody could score their age in the National Hockey League?
No, it's a really well. There was a time where
35 would be like the
Jágr was still pushing it for a little while. Yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. And again, it's not. What's insane is it's not slowing down. He broke his leg this year, and he's going to score 40. Like, it's unbelievable. And you know what my mind's been drifting towards a little bit? The broadcast nerd in me? That broadcast call, like, that's a moment that requires something profound. Now, like, Joe Beninati, who will be on the Caps call, I don't know who's going to be on the National call, but you think of, like, do you remember the Wayne Gretzky one from Gary Thorne? He did it! He did it! Like, just, you can close your eyes and hear it. Like, if I put the headset on that night, it could happen that night. Like, that's, you got to be ready.
We had John Buchagras on 100% Hockey with John Shannon this spring. I asked him about that. Has he thought about that call? And he said it would be something simple.
Yeah.
Not overstated, but something simple.
You don't want to make it about you. Mm-hmm. I agree. No.
And I would make it all about me.
Hats off to John Buchagras, because I still remember reading it when he did. It was probably 12 years ago, where he said, like, he was just making hot takes at the start of the season. He said Alex Ovechkin's going to break the record. And this was, like, back 10 years ago. Like, a lot of things had to go right. And I still remember reading that, because he looks very, very smart. I'm sure in the last 3 years, a lot of people were, it'll happen. But John Buchagras said it way before it was a layup.
We also had Spencer Carberry on the podcast last week, coach of the Washington Capitals. He's a cool dude.
Mm.
And he's got a Wayne Gretzky signed stick, a Titan. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That he used? It's in the corner of his office. And we said, you got to get that thing signed when Wayne starts traveling with the group a little bit. And he's got to have... How many people have the opportunity to have a Wayne Gretzky game-used stick and an Alexander Ovechkin game-used stick?
Yeah, and, you know, you could probably get it signed by both if you're Spencer Carberry. Like, get an Ovechkin stick from that game. Not the stick, obviously, but a stick from that game and get signed by both. That would go for a lot of money in short order.
Now he's peddling his stick?
I'm just saying, it's good to have it. He doesn't have to sell it, but, you know, someone down the line. It's good to have. But he seems like a really laid-back guy, and that team seems like a reflection of him, because with all this Ovechkin history-chasing material, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're doing it. They're making it look easy. It doesn't look like this chase is...
Any worry about a drop-off after Ovi breaks the record? That's been so consuming.
Ask him to do it on Game 82, where a drop-off doesn't matter. Yeah.
But then you have to recalibrate going into the playoffs. That's my only sort of... Fly in the ointment.
Maybe, but it just doesn't seem like it bothers them at all. Like, it seems like it helps.
It's like you. Nothing bothers you at all. Montana Sauce from X says, do you think Carlson coming back completes the team?
I think it does for the depth and the normality. And again, you want to get to this time of year, you want to have the roster. It looks like your roster. Now, again, there's always going to be injuries here or there. We're going to find out what things look like this week. But I think they've waited so long to have that playmaking down the middle, those power play options down the middle, and the dependability defensively down the middle. It's been a while since, you know, it's been touch and go of having all the pieces in place, and they've been waiting to get William Karlsson back. So I think it settles things very well. It'll be fun to see he and Riley Smith and Jose get back on the same page again.
Yeah, they've been great together. Riley's really not skipped a beat.
Looks relieved to be back home.
Yeah. AD from Facebook wants to know, what players impressed you the most in the locker room in terms of stepping up as a voice? I'll go with Zach Whitecloud. I love talking to Zach. And Brett Howden has been just incredible to witness the evolution of Brett.
And I guess, you know, playing well and putting up numbers helps with that position as well of being an authentic voice in the locker room. And again, we talked about Pavel Dorofeev and how this season he is taking that next big leap forward that's helped him fill the void left by players before him. It was his chance to step up and take a role, and he took it. And Brett Howden the same. It's going to be a 20-goal season for Brett Howden, and I don't know if anyone had that penciled in at the start of the year.
Pre-War Collector off of X asks, which Henderson player that has been called up impressed you the most in their performance? Raphaël Lavoie. You know, I know he's hurt right now, but there's been snippets there where you go, wow, I think we're just scratching the surface if we're even doing that yet.
I agree. To me, it's Lavoie or it's Lezinski, and for different reasons. When it's Lezinski, and he's a veteran AHL type, and you put him in an NHL role, he does what's needed. He fills in that spot. He's had some production. For Lavoie, though, it's more the tantalizing nature of what can be there if something just breaks.
Yeah.
Like, no goals with the Golden Knights, and I don't know how, because some of the games he's had, he's been so dominant on the puck and his downhill speed, and once he gets that bug in his ear, he plays with an edge, and he plays with a little bit of
big body, fast, skilled, good hands.
So to me, to your point, it's like, it's not like, oh, good, this is what he is and this is what he'll be. It's there's something else there. If you can just tip it over the edge and let it roll downhill to pick up momentum, there's more there.
Rodeo Ice Hockey from Twitch asks, what is one of your favorite things to do outside of hockey?
Other than watching hockey and listening to you?
Those don't count.
Okay, those don't count. I don't do a whole lot else, honestly. You know what
you
I picked
have to
up
do something.
You know what I picked up during COVID? I haven't done as much, but it's that thing in my mind that I'm like, I'm going to get back into it again.
I picked up weight.
I picked up disc golf.
What?
I picked up disc golf during COVID, and it's actually a ton of fun. And you know why? Because I can't real golf. I'm terrible at real golfing. So it's no fun to hit the ball having no idea where it's going to go the whole afternoon. With the Frisbee, you kind of, even if you're terrible at Frisbee, you can kind of maybe bend it around a tree. You might be able to do something cool in the afternoon. It's nerdy.
That's actually not bad.
I've
only ever seen those things in and around like playgrounds and parks, and I'm so afraid I'm going to hit somebody on the side of the head.
Stroller, yeah. So there's a place in San Antonio that we went, and it was a designed course through the woods, through the trees. Like that was every Wednesday through all of COVID when we were allowed to.
When was the last time you played?
I played a few months ago. I was in one of those places that, all right, here's the pavement tee box, and there's the basket over there, and there's nothing in between them, and just it's built into the park, and it's not exactly designed for it. So
Ron Panda,
it's still terrible.
From Twitch, Ron Pata asks, have you guys ever had a chance to enjoy a VGK game as a fan? And what was it like? You just did that.
I just did that on Saturday. A couple of my buddies from high school I haven't seen in a while, yelling and screaming things. And I was just trying to keep my head down. But, I love going to games as a fan.
Why? Because they were being loud and you didn't want to be...
Things I don't want associated with. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
Did you wear a hat?
I wore Silver Knight logos, which is the dumbest thing I could have
done. That is...
I'm not a recognizable person, but I gave everyone every opportunity, like next to the three inebriated gentlemen. But no, we had a lot of fun. I love going to games as a fan still because it reminds you sometimes when you're in the press box, you feel kind of separated from it all.
Yeah.
It's fun to get into to sit amongst the fans and remember the electricity of what they're experiencing. So when we're on the road, sometimes we're in Calgary, San Jose, places where there's an NHL team. When there's a game in between ours, like you take every opportunity you can to get in there.
Apala 003 from YouTube says, do you guys have a team in baseball? It's opening week.
Yankee fan. I'm excited. I feel good. They're probably a lesser team without Juan Soto, but I think they're a bit more balanced team, so I'm optimistic.
You say they're likely a lesser team without Juan Soto?
They're more balanced, I think. If they lost with him, they can lose without him.
How are they more... That means they're worse.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to give that kind of validation to the Met fans I was sitting with this weekend. I'm not going to let them smile about that. I'm going to be mysterious about it.
They're more balanced with one of the greatest players in the game today.
Yes, he was.
That spin.
He wasn't giving everyone else an opportunity to drive in runs.
I wish we could get into this more, but we don't have time. We'll be back with further conversation on the VGK Insider Show later today.